Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards. Successful radio program. It's showtime, January 10th, Saturday night, and here we are live once again on the Republic Broadcasting Network. But you might hear something a little bit differently tonight if your ears are fine-tuned. We're now coming to you live with digital audio quality, thanks to our new ISDN line. It only took us about 8 months to get us installed, but by God, anything worth doing is worth doing right. So it's great to be with you. James Edwards here tonight. And joining me in studio, I have a wealth of co-hosting talent at my disposal. I'm spoiled, actually. Bill Rowland and Winston Smith joining me, at least for a little while tonight. Gentlemen, how are you? Winston, let's start with you. It's been a while since you've been with us.
Yeah, Bill Rowland, he just called us gentlemen. You know, we don't have to put up with that.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah.
Well, I use the term loosely with you rogues, but then again, I've been in the trenches with you for so long. You know, you get some flattery you don't really deserve. But, Bill, I know it's a good night for you. I know you have some exciting news to contrast all the dreariness that we're going to be talking about for the next 3 hours to help get things kickstarted tonight.
Absolutely. And the news is, of course, the big news is that Ann Coulter has come out with yet another one of her hard-hitting books, one of her really two-fisted books against liberalism in the United States, which is so important. And really, Ann Coulter has become the standard bearer for the right in the United States. I think she has certainly run past some of the other big names in conservative commentary or conservative commentator. Certainly she's way ahead of Rush Limbaugh and some of the other mouthpieces out there. But Ann Coulter, in her latest book, Guilty is the name of it, she really heaps considerable praise on none other than the Council of Conservative Citizens, an organization to which all three of us are members. And she says some very favorable things, goes on about two pages, I believe, about the CFCC, and endorses our statement of principles, and really says some very fine things about the CFCC, and she includes our website address. So our most hearty and gratitude to Ann Coulter for the kind things she said about the CFCC in her book. And well, go out and buy the book by all means.
By all means. And Bill, as you know, and Winston too, the CFCC is closely connected with this radio program. We share scars, to say the least, and it's great to see organizations such as ours getting favorable press in the mainstream of publishing. So Ann Coulter doing a good job there. And we're happy about that, happy to be able to share some good news with our audience, as I said, in these our opening moments tonight. We do have a great show coming up tonight, as always here. We're going to try to talk about all of the issues you want to hear about. We got a couple of great guests lined up, too. So, guys, I'll tell you what, should be another one for the books, as they all are here in the political cesspool. But I just can't get off the fact that Winston Smith's back. He's been over in the Far East for so long. It's exciting to have him back in studio. And I just want to make sure that is impressed upon him right out of the gates tonight. So, Winston, good to have you back, brother.
Thank you, James. Glad to be back. I'm looking forward to this evening.
We got to go to break with that, and we're going to pick it up right after this.
Coming your way right after these messages.
Sunset Strip. Hi there. The Political Cesspool listeners are well-informed and proactive. Have you heard much about the killer MRSA in your area? Here's some information I'll bet you didn't know much about. We've come across doctors who don't know. Visit 12diseases.com, where you'll find an ebook about how to protect your child from the 12 diseases your mother never told you about. Guard parent. Things like deadly MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, rampant in hospitals, schools, and clinics, or Chagas, known well south of the border, and many others we might have heard about, but think, we don't have to worry about that. This is not some encyclopedia or complex medical book. You'll learn quickly about 12 emerging or re-emerging diseases that have horrible consequences for the health and well-being of your children. It's written in a plain, easy-to-read format that anyone can understand. That's 12diseases.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com, or call us at 800-610-2770.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Thank you, Art Frith, and we would like to hear from you tonight throughout the course of the program, so do feel free to call in at any time. And speaking of our listening audience, we got some very good feedback today. We get letters and emails every day, but we got some this week that were particularly meaningful to me and very thoughtful, and I'm going to be sharing a couple of those a little later on in the program tonight. But that being said, welcome back to the show. James Edwards here with you, along with Winston Smith and Bill Rowland. Once we get Eddie the Bobbiter Miller to readjust his work schedule to where he can be off on Saturday nights, then we'll be back at full complement for the first time since June. It's been a long time coming. But anyway, guys, I ran across a story this week that I thought would be perfect for our first issue to tackle this evening. As you know, and as everyone knows, I have, I guess now you could say, three really big pet peeves. I have a lot more than that, but these are the top three. And we've covered the first two over the last couple of weeks. Of course, Republican pandering, where the Republican Party feels the need to pander for votes from the likes of which people will never vote for them. They pander and grovel to everyone except for conservative whites, the only people who actually do vote Republican anymore. And then the second on the list of pet peeves would be these pseudo-preachers like Rick Warren, who bow a knee to the false gods of political correctness and feel compelled to remove any scripture from his website that might defy cultural Marxism. And then thirdly, hypocrisies and double standards that are so thick you couldn't cut through them with a chainsaw And here's one of those examples, guys. Out of New York, I'm reading directly from an AP story here. An airline passenger forced to cover his T-shirt because it displayed Arabic script has been awarded $240,000 in compensation, campaigners said on Monday. That's $250,000. His name is Rayed Jarrar. He received the pay last week from the United States Transportation Security Authority officials and from JetBlue Airways following an August 2006 incident at New York's JFK Airport. The ACLU announced. The ACLU went on to say, and I quote, "The outcome of this case is a victory for free speech and a blow to the discriminatory practice of racial profiling." All right, let's just pause it right there. And, Bill, I'm going to toss the hypothetical rhetorical grenade over your way. So this Arab guy, he was wearing a shirt, and he gets they asked him to cover it before he got on the plane, which, you know, maybe they shouldn't have done. But he gets $250,000 for it. Now, let's just say you were about to board that same flight, Bill, with a Confederate flag on your shirt. Do you think you're going to be cashing a $250,000 check today?
No, I'd still be trying to raise bail. And the ACLU would be nowhere in sight. I mean, these are the facts. I would be under.
And that's why I brought it up. Let's talk about the facts before we toss it over to Winston and continue on, because I'm sure this one's got you hot.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is that the airline may not have been prudent in that request. But the question is, did he comply with the request, which apparently he did, and I guess he just felt offended once he was off the plane. But, of course, this is the double standard, is that an American citizen descended from American citizens will be restricted in our expression of free speech if, for instance, I wore a Confederate flag T-shirt on an airplane. I'm sure I'd be told to cover it, that there would be someone would be offended. It's okay, you know, to squelch my free speech if I offend somebody, but, you know, an Arab getting on a plane with Arabic writing on his shirt, in fact, that may have been to protect him, you know, from passengers complaining or from passengers suspecting him of being a terrorist. It may have been an attempt to protect him from the scorn of other passengers. Who knows?
Well, apparently we will never know, but then again, you see the point I'm getting at and the reason why I wanted to infuse this story into the program tonight. I mean, even if you could have found a lawyer to have represented you in such a case, there's not a chance in hell you would have found a judge or jury to award you compensation and a judgment. I mean, that's just the facts, and these are the politically correct double standards which we're faced today as the founding stock of this country. But Winston, I'm sure you have a few thoughts on it as well.
I think it's perfectly reasonable for American citizens on in an enclosed space such as an aircraft to be nervous when they see a pseudo-threatening message brandished before them like a weapon.
Right, and by the way, let me just say this. You said a potentially imposing message. The message on his shirt, which was written in Arabic script, and I don't know how many of the passengers can read that, but it said, "We will not be silent," which, you know, not necessarily threatening, but nevertheless, probably would cause some discomfort among the passengers. Mm. And I'm not even saying that I'm for the airline asking them to remove it. I'm all for freedom of speech association across the board, but the fact remains, it's the double standard that we're accentuating here. But Winston, I didn't mean to interrupt.
The double standard is exactly my point, James. This guy from now on, anybody is going to be allowed to board a JetBlue aircraft wearing any sort of offensive or threatening or scary message upon them or talking about things that make the passengers feel uncomfortable. But what I would like to see happen is for somebody to dress themselves wearing a T-shirt that says something like, "Oh, you know, screw the ACLU," or the ACLU can't silence me, and they walk in with a backpack or a suitcase type of container, and they walk into the ACLU headquarters building and see if they have the right to have their message displayed there. JetBlue is a private company. Well, so is the ACLU. But the ACLU will not abide anybody's freedom of speech in their building, I'm sure.
Well, not only that, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm just going to announce this out loud. I've actually bought you and Bill both airplane tickets, and I'm going to dress y'all up in Nathan Bedford Forrest shirts with a Confederate flag underneath which reads, "We will not be silent." We're going to see what happens. We're just going to see what happens. We're going to see if the ACLU determines if y'all are asked to remove the T-shirt. And y'all win. If y'all win $250,000, and you know you split it with me, then we really got something. We're going to try this out. I'm excited about the prospects here. We're just going to see how fair and balanced the ACLU is. I just can't get over though the quote there. The outcome of this case is a victory for free speech. Where was the ACLU, I wonder, in November here in Memphis, Tennessee, when a conservative group? We're not going to rehash that whole ordeal because we've already done it two or three times on this program. But when the group here in Memphis was denied their most primitive civil rights. And this was an event at which I spoke, and events, again, that we covered here on this program. Where was the ACLU then when those people were denied the right to have their law-abiding contracts honored, the right to free assembly, free speech? Where was the ACLU then? Well, we know the answer, because they didn't come up. They didn't show up because we were politically incorrect, and apparently everyone else isn't. But moving on.
Hey, well, James, let me interject something here. You mentioned that you have a couple of Nathan Bedford Forrest T-shirts for Bill and myself, and some plane tickets. I'll be glad to do that if you will post the if you will guarantee that you have the bail money ready for us. You going to put up the bail money?
Huh? Huh? You think you'll go to jail for that, Bill, for wearing a southern T-shirt?
We'd just be put it. We'd probably just be taken to Guantanamo as enemy combatants. You know.
Well, I actually booked you on a flight to Key West, so you won't have to go far. But anyway,
well, thanks, James. You're always thinking of
well,
us.
You know, that's what I do. What are friends for? One more thing. Going back to number two on my list of top three pet peeves, Pat Robertson. He's back in the news and apparently off his medication. He said he talked to God this week. And this is a Christian program. The hosting staff is all Christian. So when I mention Pat Robertson, don't confuse me here. These are the kind of Christians that I think give true advocates of the faith a bad name. But and Pat Robertson, my biggest problem with him and a lot of these mega preachers like Rick Warren and the late Falwell is that they have the audacity to say that the people who hate Jesus Christ the most are in fact God's people, and that's utter, I think, blasphemy. But here's what he said. I'm going to read very quickly here. The Lord said the economy of America will recover, Robertson told a group assembled at Regent University. In the interview, he also said that contrary to many economists' opinions, the economy recovery will be swift. Cast off the gloom and doom, he said, because things are getting ready to turn around. Well, that sounds pretty good, guys, I think you'd say. No more economic doom and gloom, a swift recovery. But then Pat Robertson, or the God Pat Robertson prays to, apparently went on to completely contradict himself by saying this. And again, this was all in the same interview. Socialist policies and massive government spending could lead to heavy hyperinflation, Robertson said, sending prices through the roof and the value of the dollar through the floor. The Lord said the dollar is going to go down dramatically. And if I'm hearing God right, God is going to go, that's a tongue twister, to $1,900 an ounce and oil to $300 a barrel. And then Pat Robertson put the exclamation point on the whole thing by saying that America was headed for hyperinflation along the lines that the Germans suffered before World War II. So quick recap, and then Bill, you get the final word on this. Pat Robertson said God told him gold's going to go to $1,900 an ounce, the nation's economy will recover, oil's going to go to $300 a barrel, things are going to turn around rapidly, there's going to be a collapse of the dollar, hyperinflation, and no more gloom and doom. Does that make any more sense to you, Bill, than it does me?
And don't forget that he is also bending his knee at the altar of the Antichrist, Barack Obama.
Oh, sure.
And he's now, as we said on this show just a few weeks ago, that all of these mega preachers and all the big evangelists were going to come to Barack Obama's altar with their burnt offering.
Bill, we got a break. Set tight. We'll be right back.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Katahdin Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared. Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
So today, I'll be standing right by
rebels, we are indeed. Welcome back to the political cesspool radio program. We are red hot and rolling tonight, this Saturday evening, January 10th. James Edwards, Bill Rowland, and Winston Smith with you. Tonight, it's a trifecta, although Bill's going to be leaving us shortly. He has some other pressing affairs of state to tend to. But before he goes, and before we welcome on our first guest, I wanted to give you the final thought, Bill, on the Pat Robertson situation there. Not much of a situation. It's kind of good salacious gossip to kind of infuse into a radio show. But any final thoughts on that?
Well, Pat Robertson must be getting his information from God through the high priests of Wall Street, because Pat Robertson always seems to quote God and to claim he's channeling God when it's some big investment or the economy or finances are involved. And I wouldn't be surprised if right after he made this speech he didn't make a plea for donations and trying to raise money for something that he considers also something that God told him to do. But of course, Pat has a pattern of this behavior of making these wild speculative prophecies, none of which ever come true. And
I think the scripture tells us a prophet's
prophecies always come true, or that person is a false prophet.
Well, one of his predictions is going to have to come true, apparently, Bill, because he said we're going to have an economic recovery and we're also going to have a depression. So,
oh, he can't go wrong.
Yeah, he can't go wrong, can he?
He's a true prophet of Wall Street wizards and sorcerers.
What he's done, James and Bill, is he's covered all his bases. He can say that he was right no matter what happens.
Well, and that's not the biggest problem. We're focusing on some silliness that surrounds Pat Robertson. But again, the big problem with him and a lot of these false prophets in the pulpit today is that they've got this Jewish worship going on and this Zionist worship. And apparently the way to get into heaven now is to bless Israel. Well, let's just say we don't subscribe to dispensationalism here in the cesspool. But I don't want to get on a religious bend. This is a political show. But we don't separate our religion from our politics here.
Hey, James?
Yeah, the Sermon on the Mount is a mount of dead Palestinians, apparently. So,
yeah, Winston, you had something to say?
Our first guest, Thomas Sass, may have something to say about what Pat Robertson has said and done. Thomas Sass says that if you talk to God, you're praying. If God talks to you, you're schizophrenic.
Well, we might explore that a little bit further.
Yeah, we should ask him. We've got the man himself.
And what a guy. Wait till I read his bio in a moment. I think everyone's going to be as impressed as I was when I was doing my prep for tonight's show. But before we do that, I want to share one quick letter we got today. It actually came in the P.O. box. And I want to share this before Bill leaves us this evening, leaves the studio tonight. Greetings and good health to all the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm a longtime listener to RBN, but a new listener to your show. An excellent move by RBN to have y'all on their broadcast. Glad to see y'all on board. RBN is broadcast locally here in Talladega on 90.9 FM Freedom Radio. Guys, we got a listener there in Alabama on an affiliate I didn't even know we had. So you learn something every day when you check the fan mail.
But You're out of the loop, James.
He goes on to say, a while back, one of your guests discussed the U.S. Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, and touched on the topic of secession, which he didn't delve into. And the question is this: is secession treason or patriotism? Is secession constitutional or unconstitutional? Lincoln's invasion of the Confederate States of America, is that constitutional or unconstitutional? These questions are just as important today as they were in 1861. And he goes on from there. I just want to thank John for being a loyal listener to this program and for taking the time to write us. We're going to give him a thoughtful reply back. And we also, gentlemen, got a letter in from a fellow who listens to us in North Carolina who said we are his church service. And so I want to say hello to Ryan in North Carolina and all the other people who tune in on our affiliate stations and internet stream and through the flagship station here in Memphis, AM 1380 WLRM Radio, and, of course, on our own website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Guys, as you know, we have had a longstanding working relationship with our listening audience for the last 4 years, and it seems to be only growing stronger.
Well, if we're his church service, James, that makes you Reverend James Edwards.
And so what would y'all be?
I'm the Pope.
I'll be the prophet.
Pat Robertson told me I was the Pope.
Oh, did he?
Yes,
he did. Must be true then.
Just about 5 minutes ago, he was talking down my chimney.
Well, what are you, Winston? Are you a...
I'll be the church's prophet.
You can collect the offering plate every day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Pat Robertson spells prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T. So he considers himself a prophet whenever people send in their pledges and donations.
So he takes those Learjet trips to Tel Aviv every month, that's for sure.
Right.
They spare no expense. You know, actually, I was in Florida one night, and he was on, what do you call it, infomercial, saying how we had to donate to Israel right away to spare God's wrath in our lives. I didn't donate.
Well, there may be something to that. We could send Israel our money, and they could spend that money buying weapons with which to bomb women and children and hospitals and schools in Gaza, and that way they don't bomb us.
Well, you know what? That certainly seems to be the MO right now for America. We've talked about this for 4 years. How much money is Israel getting from America? How many? Is it trillions yet?
It's $3 billion a year so far. $3 billion a year, mostly to buy weapons from us.
So, well, we'll wrestle with that another time. We got to go to break. Sit tight, guys. We're too busy singing to put anybody down.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens. And find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com or call us at 800-610-2770.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards and Winston Smith still with you tonight. As we made mention of earlier in the program, Bill Rowland was just joining us for a few minutes tonight. He has stepped out of the studio, had some other business he needed to tend to tonight, but being the political junkie he is, he did want to come in and at least get a quick fix of political talk radio tonight. So thank you, Bill, for coming in, and me and Winston will try to do the best we can for the rest of the program. Shouldn't be hard because we got a couple of great guests on tap this evening, the first of which is on the line with us now, Dr. Thomas Saz. He received his MD from the University of Cincinnati. He is also a fellow of the American Psychiatric Association and a life member of the American Psychoanalytic Association. Dr. Thomas Saz has published frequently in leading medical, psychiatric, and psychoanalytic journals. He is also Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the State University of New York Health Science Center in Syracuse, New York, an adjunct scholar of the Cato Institute and a prominent figure in the anti-psychiatry movement. In addition, he is a lecturer and author of 32 books, including The Myth of Mental Illness. Dr. Saz, welcome back to the show tonight. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Anytime we have a guest of your renown that is talking about a specific scholarly subject that isn't normally covered in our spectrum of analysis here in the Political Cesspool, I like to kind of start out with some basic questions to help the audience get acquainted with exactly who the guest is. And I'd like to do that with you tonight by asking you just very simply, why did you become a psychiatrist?
Because I was interested in debunking the idea that psychiatry deals with medical subjects.
And I know a lot of the things that you've focused on, and I know Winston Smith, my co-host this evening, has done quite a bit of research into your career, and he has a lot of questions for you as well. I think this question is one that will be right up your alley. How did the term mental illness arise, and what does it precisely mean to the psychiatric field at large?
Well, if I may add, it's more important what does it mean to the public that that pays for psychiatry, or to the politicians.
Hello? Yeah, a little bit of feedback there. I don't know exactly where that's coming from. Hello? Yeah, I still got you, Dr. Sahn. Seems as though we're having some feedback. I don't know if
that's on my end or... All right, anyway. Yeah, no, that's fine. We've got crack producers here at RBN. They were right on top of it. They got it taken care of. Just some momentary technical difficulties.
Okay.
But, yeah, continue on with what you were about to say. I apologize for the interruption.
Well, what does it mean to you? I mean, we should start. Oh. There it goes again.
Huh. Now, Winston, jump in here while we try to take care of this.
Dr. Saz, this is a real pleasure. I've been interested in your career for some time now. Go ahead.
Hello?
Dr. Saz?
Yes, who am I speaking to?
This is Winston Smith, James's co-host.
Okay, thank you.
It seems that you are to psychiatry what Charles Murray is to sociology, something of a gadfly. And it seems that you hold psychiatry to be the medical equivalent of religion, and a poor religion at that. Given that religious dimension of psychiatry, do you agree with G.K. Chesterton, who said psychiatry is confession without absolution?
Oh, I love Chesterton. I not only agree with that, but Chesterton also said something, which is what I have been saying, which is not original, that a madman... I'm quoting, a madman is not a man who lost his reason. A madman is a man who has lost everything but his reason.
That's one of my favorites.
That says it all.
Dr. Saz, I think there's much upon which you and I would disagree, but we do agree on the absolute necessity of getting government out of medicine, and especially out of something as subjective, malleable, and vulnerable to abuse, such as psychiatry.
Absolutely correct. That's correct.
So you see psychiatry as a state religion, since let me put it to you this way. Let me set up my question this way. You argue that the de facto definition of mental illness is non-approved behaviors. And you also argue that through the various laws and acts regarding mental health, psychiatry has become a state religion. Now, this means that the state has arrogated the power to declare behaviors to be mental illnesses. And to me, this seems a different thing than defining criminality, which is dealt with in the legal justice system. And since, say, being a Christian is still somewhat legal by the First Amendment, is it far-fetched to fear that the government might try to get around that First Amendment protection by simply declaring certain Christian beliefs to be mental illness and therefore non-approved behavior and therefore to be dealt with in the medical equivalent of a legal justice system?
Well, your question is very, very good, and your summary is very good. No, I don't think that's something to be feared right now, because psychiatry and the politicians who control it, really, and the psychiatrists are very attentive to public opinion. And as long as Christianity is a dominant religion in this country, that's not to be feared. That's no danger. But that some fringe religion like Christian Scientists or Branch Davidians, are declared to be somehow deranged and should be controlled, is not at all far-fetched. That's already happened.
Dr. Saz, let me redirect the line of questioning just for a brief moment back to some more of the basics now that we've apparently got some of these technical glitches with the feedback rectified. I want to ask you this, just to kind of form a foundation here to complement Winston's excellent line of questioning. Who were some of the leading people that helped transform modern medicine to include mental illnesses?
Well, let me answer that in a moment. Let me first point out, which you know, which every listener knows, which everyone knows, that psychiatry is a branch of the law. Only psychiatrists have the power to incarcerate people and to go to court and testify that a criminal is not responsible for his acts. Now, this has been true since the beginning of psychiatry, since before there was psychiatry. Psychiatry is only about is barely 150 years old. The term psychiatry was coined in the middle of the 19th century. Before that, psychiatrists were called mad doctors. They were madhouses, lunatic asylums, in which people were locked up. That's how the whole story begins. Now, who were the leading figures? The leading figures in Germany were a man named Kraepelin and Bleuler, and in America, it goes back to the Revolutionary War to Benjamin Rush, and everyone since then, the Menningers, you know, now they are dead, but you know, they were really Carl Menninger was alive until about 10 years ago. He was a leading psychiatrist throughout most of the 19th century.
So these were, in essence, for lack of a better term, the founding fathers of the movement.
Correct.
To,
the founding, to... especially Menninger is a kind of a founding father of modern psychiatry. Carl Menninger wrote very many books. He had a famous book called The Crime of Punishment, which he argued that crime is a mental illness, but that punishing crime is also an illness, the crime of punishment.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you consider psychiatry a moral or a political enterprise as opposed to a genuine scientific field?
It's completely. It's a moral and legal enterprise. It isn't that I consider it. It is self-evident that it's a legal enterprise. We have mental health laws. Every day you read in the papers that somebody was ordered to see a psychiatrist, to be treated by a psychiatrist.
Well, that
you can't open a paper or listen to a television show without that coming up.
Well, okay, this actually sets me up perfectly for my next question, and then I want to turn it back over to Winston for a moment. That being the case, why is the term mental illness, in your opinion, in your expert opinion, used in the modern vernacular almost everywhere if it doesn't actually exist scientifically?
Well, that becomes very tricky because scientifically God doesn't exist, but presidents swear on it that they're inaugurated. I mean, in a physical sense, God doesn't exist. You can't demonstrate. It's not like cancer. That you can see under a microscope. It's an idea. It's not a thing.
Well, I guess that's as good an answer as any. Winston, what say you?
Dr. Saz, you just said that psychiatrists are the only doctors who can put people in jail. You've also sort of argued the opposite, saying that the insanity plea, the insanity defense, should be abolished. And
Just like juries can acquit people and can convict people. Those are two sides of the same thing. They're not opposites.
So you would like to see medicine in general and psychiatry in particular taken out of the legal system?
100%, just like religion is. Fortunately, we have this analogy in this country. Religion is completely out of the legal system.
You make a very strong connection between psychiatry and religion. Sigmund Freud was well known to be an ardent foe of religion, and yet it seems, and I'm not an expert, it seems to me that what he did was to essentially substitute one religion for another.
That's exactly right, and there are dozens of books on that subject. These are not altogether new ideas. Of course, that's why he was opposed to religion, because he had his own religion.
Uh-huh.
So, one religion being opposed to another religion is not exactly a new thing. he had the religion of determinism, of science. Called scientism.
Sasser, have you seen the video, Century of the Self?
No, I have not seen that.
It's it makes the assertion that Freud and his daughter used psychiatry as an attempt to control the public. Do you agree that Freud tried to do that?
I would not agree with that because Freud was a very minor player. You see, Freud, there are minutiae here that one has to pay attention to. Freud was not a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist in his day was defined as a person who works in a state mental hospital. He never worked in a state mental hospital. He only had clients who came to him voluntarily, and if they wanted, and who had to pay him, and if they wanted to quit, they quit. That is not what psychiatry is by and large. Psychiatry by and large is coerced. It's involuntary.
And you also argue very strongly against involuntary subjection to a psychiatrist. You argue against involuntary commitment to any kind of medical facility.
Let's keep it to psychiatry because let's not get into medicine because psychiatry is not medical.
Well, let me ask you about this. It's along the lines of what Winston was trying to bring up here, but it's also in my notes. In Argentina, if you're familiar with this, Dr. Sazen, specifically in Buenos Aires. There are so many psychotherapy patients that many Argentinians wonder what is wrong with someone if they're not in psychotherapy. How do you think Argentinian society got to this point?
Well, this was fairly common here in New York, in Los Angeles, in Chicago, in the 1960s, 1970s. They got into this position to the extent to which they are disenchanted with whatever meaning they have in life. Psychiatry addresses the same problem that religion does, that philosophy does. Well, why do you get up in the morning?
That's a hell of a question.
It's a hell of a question.
That's a good question. Well,
if you think of it long enough, I don't mean you personally, I don't know you, but if you think of it long enough, a lot of people feel, maybe I should kill myself. Then they get depressed. They have no meaning in life.
Yeah, I've known a few. I've known a few. All right, well, let me ask you this. I mean, this is almost an elementary question for someone of your expertise, but, I mean, let's talk about depression, just flat out. And this wasn't even in a direction I wanted to go, but since you bring it up.
That's okay. By the way, my point of view is not one that requires any expertise.
Well, that's a good thing, because I'm certainly not... I'm an expert on a lot of things. Winston, you know that. But this isn't one of them. So I'm learning along with everyone else here tonight. But a quick question before we go to our next commercial break with regards to depression. Now, do you believe as though that's something that's a clinical illness, or do you believe it's just something perhaps weak-minded people use as a crutch? Sort of a provocative question, but I want your take on it.
Well, I don't like the either-or aspect of your question. It's not either-or. It is not an illness like cancer or heart disease.
I agree with you. I didn't know how you... I pretty much knew how you were going to answer that, but I agree with you.
I would leave it at that. What it is, I tell you what it is. It's a feeling. It's a feeling just like a feeling of pain or a feeling that you love a picture or that you love your wife, or that you love your daughter. It's a feeling.
Yeah, but then these people are convinced through the... I would assume the effects of psychiatrists that they are, in fact, diseased with some
kind of a disability. No, don't leave. The major culprit is not psychiatry. The major culprit is the U.S. government, the National Institute of Mental Health. You constantly hear government propaganda to the effect that mental illness is an illness.
Okay, perfect. Now that you've said...
Government, like always, the state is the problem. I'm a libertarian.
And I agree with you, and I am too. And it's with that being said, let me ask you this. Why, then?
And psychiatry is a foot soldier in this war. That's the government.
Brings us to the logical question before we go to break, and I'm going to try to squeeze this one in there. Why? Why does the government use psychiatry towards their ends? What are they seeking to get out of it?
To control people.
We got 60 seconds to break. Winston, I think Dr. Saz is absolutely on to something, and I agree with him with that.
I certainly am on to something very ancient. The purpose of the government is to control people.
Winston, we got about a half minute before break. We're going to pick it up with Dr. Saz after the commercials, but 30 seconds to break. Winston, you want a quick closing thought before we head into the next segment?
I agree with Dr. Saz. Every time the government gets a hold of something, that something goes corrupt. It's happened with education. It's happened with people's retirements, for crying out loud. And the government has never been able to take a hold of anything, but that it hasn't destroyed it. And mental health, why should it be any different? Orwell said that that politics itself is a mass of lies, evasions, folly, hatred, and schizophrenia. So you have these schizophrenics trying to tell everybody else what their mental problems are. That doesn't make sense.
All right, set tight, everybody. We're going to go to break. We'll pick it up right after this. This is getting interesting.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the law of the lie.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-drying foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
If you can handle the truth, pick up a copy of Plain Truth by John Tate, a concise critique of contemporary American government for its refusal to acknowledge our true origins as a Western Christian nation. Plain Truth will inform and inspire readers who are eager to partake in the long and difficult process necessary to restore the American Republic. As citizens of this great republic, we can perform no more important task than realizing our duty to preserve our unique culture, heritage, and people despite a formidable foe within our own nation. Read Plain Truth and you'll discover the importance of identifying the cause, exploring the consequences, and discovering solutions to our unfortunate situation. The debate must shift toward a focus upon culture, history, and nationalism. Plain Truth by John Tate proves that racial diversity and Republican government are incompatible with one another. Plain Truth by John Tate is available through Amazon, Target, Borders, and Barnes & Noble bookstores.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
And now let's return to the political cesspool.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Our award-winning broadcast here out of Memphis, Tennessee, and syndicated on the Republic Broadcasting Network for our affiliate stations across the country and on the internet. We're everywhere now. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards and Winston Smith here with you. Don't forget to check out our website. If you like our show, you'll love our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And continuing on with Dr. Thomas Saz tonight, the scholar. And we are very excited to have him on. It's interviews such as this to just go to prove that we will, in fact, tackle any issue of the political spectrum. And again, Dr. Saz, thank you for being with us tonight. Just a short segment here. We were talking about the role that the government plays in psychiatry and how they are able to manipulate it into satisfying their ends. We've talked about it in situations like this or almost pandemic now, people being taken at gunpoint against their wills and admitted into mental hospitals. Even with people such as yourself speaking out against these practices.
Let me add something. It's worse than that because actually the major victims of psychiatry are captive groups, three particular groups that you are very well aware. Everyone is aware of this. Children, school children, old people in nursing homes, and people imprisoned, prisoners. They are heavily drugged. The members of all three groups are totally drugged now in America.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That is the
guy. They are all involuntary patients. They don't want to be drugged. They don't say, I am mentally ill, help me.
That's right.
Not one of them. No child goes to a psychiatrist voluntarily.
Winston, do you have any thoughts on this?
I'm still stewing over what we said right before we went to the break about the government being inept at handling people's...
Not inept. It's not inept. I wouldn't... Excuse me for interrupting.
That's all right. Go ahead, sir.
It is useful for the government. Just like the government talks people into saving money or spending money. The government constantly preaches to the people. That is their job.
But you don't think that they are inept at handling, taking care of people's mental health? I think they're totally inept.
But they're not supposed to be good at that. That's not their job. Their job is to influence people in the direction in which they want to influence them.
Exactly. I think we're agreeing, although our emphases are different.
We agree completely.
The government just has no business whatsoever trying to tell people what is mentally healthy and what is not, because our federal government is the largest collection of people who should be considered mentally unhealthy. They are.
But look, what the government has a business doing is not the people of the politicians. Does the government have a business in telling banks who to lend to? What was this housing?
Exactly.
Boom. Due to.
And now we're getting into the meat of this whole interview, and I'm excited.
Well, this is an entirely political subject, actually. This is not an unusual subject for you. It should not be.
Sit tight, Dr. Saz. We've got to take another break. We're going to bring you back right after this.
Don't go away. Hour number two of tonight's installment of The Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Hello, my name